Okay, so kids, how we doing? All right, so now at the end, I'm going to have some paper at the, there's paper and crayons at the back of the auditorium. But I wanted to ask you kids, how many of you guys like to do puzzles? Any of you guys? Yeah? I see some hands. I see some adult hands. All right. How many of you kids have ever done the connect the dots kind of puzzles? Yes? Connect the dots. And that's where you draw the line. You got to know your numbers. If you don't know your numbers, then it's not going to be much good to you. But you go from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. And as you're connecting the dots, a picture emerges, right? You know, at first you're looking at this paper and it's just all these random dots all over the place and it doesn't look like anything. But then as you connect the dots, suddenly a picture emerges. And we're going to be talking today a little bit about connecting the dots and seeing the picture emerge. All right? Because God would have us understand what He's doing in this world today. And part of that is understanding how He worked in the past. And I don't know how many of you kids have ever looked in your Bibles before about a story of a guy named Philip. And Philip was a deacon in the church, and when the church was being persecuted, he had to leave, and he went up to Samaria, to a town up there, and preached the gospel. And then one day, an angel appeared to him and said, I want you to go from the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he's walking on this road, and then he sees a chariot. Now, a chariot is basically a horse-drawn cart that people can sit on the cart and, you know, be in the shade or whatever, which is a good thing if you're in the desert. But anyway, so he sees a chariot, and the Holy Spirit tells him to go talk to this guy that's in the chariot. Now, this guy is reading out of the Bible, out of the Old Testament, and he's from Africa. And he happened to be a very high official. He's in charge of the treasury of this one queen of Ethiopia in Africa. So he goes alongside. And back then, they used to read out loud. How many of you kids read out loud? Yeah, sometimes it's helpful to read out loud. So he was reading out loud so Philip could hear what he was saying. And the Holy Spirit said, go alongside this chariot. And then Philip says to him, do you know what you're reading? Do you understand? The guy says, how do I understand unless you explain it to me? So he gets in the chariot and he explains to him from that Old Testament passage how it applied to Jesus. And he did such a good job explaining, helping the Ethiopian connect the dots, that when they got to a place where there was water, the Ethiopian said, hey, I want to be baptized. And so, long story short, Philip baptizes the Ethiopian in the water. And then the Spirit of God takes Philip away. And so the message of Jesus got to be transmitted from that area all the way down to Ethiopia. Isn't that a cool story? So your job is to draw me the story of Philip talking to this African guy from Ethiopia about Jesus on a chariot. All right, so that's your story. For you adults, though, you just got to listen. All right, so anyway, as you heard, we're talking about the church and what the church is all about. And I'm sitting on my keys, so excuse me here a minute. As we know, the church isn't about buildings and steeples. The church is a group of people that have called out. They've been called out for Jesus Christ. They've been called out in Jesus' name to make a difference here in this world. And we have a mission. And we've been kind of going through different passages in the book of Acts, and we're going to continue doing that today. So if you have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And we're going to be talking about how the church responded to a difficult time. Now, all through the book of Acts, up until this point, we've been reading about how the apostles continue to be confronted by the Jewish leaders of the time, how they how there's opposition to their message. And now what we're going to see is the opposition goes from just merely opposition to persecution. And in Acts chapter 7, we have a rather long story about Stephen's speech. Now, Stephen was one of the deacons that was chosen to help minister to the widows in those times. And he was also a man of deep faith. And he's arrested and he gives his defense. And he goes through the Old Testament telling this long story about how the the story goes about how the Holy Spirit was working through time and bringing the time to the point where Jesus shows up on the scene. And then he confronts them as they had rejected Jesus, and they responded in killing him. They had him stoned. So now we have verse 1 in chapter 8. We're picking up the message. And I'm going to read the first 8 verses, and then I'm going to flip over to verse 26. So you're just going to have to follow along as I jump around a little bit here. But I really want to get into the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. But I want to provide a little background in Acts 8, 1 through 8. So this is what it says. And Saul approved of his execution, talking about Stephen. And there rose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made a great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed, so that there was much joy in that city. And now we'll slip over to verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Arise and go to the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." He rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran over to him and heard him reading Isaiah, the prophet, and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless somebody guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And they were going along the road, and they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. And they came up out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Attius, and he passed through the region, preaching the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Let's stop there and let's pray. Father God, as we enter into this passage, Lord God, again, we want to pray that by your Holy Spirit, as the author of this work, that he would quicken to our minds and to our hearts the things that he would have us to understand from this passage. Lord, help us to not only understand it, not just be hearers of the word, but also doers of the word also. Show us how to put what we learn here today into practice. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, that's just a really neat passage. You know, I'm kind of excited about the kids that are coloring right now because I get some really, really neat pictures about what they come up with and in their minds how they put things together and everything. Well, the title of this message is Connecting the Dots. And I think the Holy Spirit would have us understand this passage in light of what we're going through today and how we can connect the dots. And the first thing I want to get out of the message, and if you forget anything else, remember this. We need to learn how to turn opposition into opportunity. Whatever we're facing in terms of restrictions or whatever kind of opposition that we face, we need to turn it into opportunity. It says in Acts 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. It doesn't say, if it's convenient, you can be my witnesses. Or if you're not persecuted, you can be my witnesses. You know, we're not seeing people being dragged off to jail right now in this situation. All right? We have restrictions, but we're not seeing people drug off to jail. In the passage here, they're being drug off to jail. And you'd think, or I would think, in light of everything was going on, that as they're dispersing, as the disciples of the followers of Jesus are being dispersed throughout Judea and Samaria, getting away from Jerusalem, I would think that they would go into hiding. That's what I would think. But that's not what took place. In spite of their circumstance, it says that, let me just reread verse 1. Saul approved of his execution, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. So they're all scattered, but then in verse 4 it says, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. So I'm not saying here that God orchestrated the persecution, but I am saying that they used it as an opportunity. God used this as an opportunity so that the word of God could go forth. Because what did we read? We read earlier that God had called the disciples to be witnesses in Jerusalem, that part they were doing, but it also says all Judea, which was the province around Jerusalem, it would be like our state, and Samaria, which was the next province with different people, okay? Some of you Ohioans, it'd probably for you be like going into West Virginia. I'm just saying, all right? I'm from New York. That would be an even bigger stretch. But anyway, it's going into a different state or a different province and to the end of the earth. Okay? So the gospel is going forth, and we see that happening here. And it makes you wonder what God's doing now. It makes you wonder what God's doing now. Because I know some people that are being, you know, restricted to their homes probably going stir crazy to get on the internet. And, you know, there's a ton of information on the internet. But they may be saying, hey, I wonder what the churches are doing. What is God doing? And they may be tuning in to a message just like the one I'm preaching right now. Who knows what the Holy Spirit can do through such a situation as this. That said, where is our concentration as people? Because you could get on the internet too and spend a lot of time doing all kind of stuff and listening to this and listening to that. Are you in the Word of God? Are you praying? Hey, if you're in the Word of God and praying and stuff like that and you have time left over to get on the internet. That's fine. But don't let it be an obsession to you. You need to spend time in the Word. You need to spend time in prayer. And you need to spend time being available to God for whatever He would have you do. So I think this is an incredible, unprecedented time in our nation to be a salt and light to the world around us. So let's look at the example of Philip. Now, who's Philip? You know, there's a lot of Philips in the Bible. Matter of fact, one of the apostles was named Philip. How do we know that this wasn't the apostle Philip? Well, we know because it says that the apostles stayed in Jerusalem, and Philip here, he's up in Samaria. So it says in Acts 8, verse 5, Philip went down, meaning down elevation, because Jerusalem's on a mountaintop, went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. Now here's the thing. If you remember the story about Jesus, you know that there are times that he had to go through Samaria, and there's times where he preached the gospel. Do you remember the story of the woman at the well? That was a story about Jesus ministering to a Samaritan woman. And if you remember anything about the story, you remember that he's sitting at the well, he presents the gospel to her. He says that he's the Christ. She's excited because, let's face it, he knew stuff about her that he probably shouldn't have known. And he kind of winked and revealed some of it to her. And then she's like off like a light to tell everybody. I think she exaggerated a little bit, but she goes around telling everybody, he told me everything I ever did, you know. And they're like, wow, you know, this has got to be something. We got to check it out. So everybody in that village heard Jesus, and Jesus spent some time ministering to them. So Philip is now in Samaria preaching about Jesus being the Messiah. And they're seeing not only the preaching of the word, but signs following. And that's something, folks, that we need to be prepared for and go there and see what God would have us do as signs following. If somebody needs prayer for healing or whatever, God's hand is not short. He could minister. So, it says in Acts 6, verse 5, and what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith of the Holy Spirit, who had, I'm kind of going back to talk about who Philip is, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. So in the context of Acts, we can conclude that this Philip was one of the deacons. Now, let me tell you something here. The job of a deacon in the church is to minister the physical needs of people. In modern days, we put a lot of stuff with regard to doing stuff about the church building. But usually it has to do with ministering the physical needs of the body, while the apostles, or, you know, in our case, the pastors and elders would be doing the spiritual needs of the body. Well, what's he doing preaching the gospel? You ever wonder about that? I mean, what's he doing preaching the gospel if his job was being a deacon? Well, I'll tell you something. As soon as they got spread out, you know, it was like everything got redefined. And let me just say this. Philip was willing to minister outside of what his quote-unquote position was. And so I want you to look inside your own heart and say, well, I'm this or this kind of person. I'm not an evangelist. Well, let me tell you something. Anybody can share the good news to anybody else. Just tell them what you've done. What happened to you? Easiest thing to do, tell them your own testimony. How did you meet Jesus Christ? It's a simple thing. It doesn't have to be really complicated. And you know something, folks? If you do run into somebody that's got a lot of really detailed questions, you know people that you can go to. You can go to me and say, hey, I got this guy that, man, he asks all kinds of questions. I don't know what to say to this. All right? So, and I may not have an answer either, but maybe together we can figure something out. In Acts 8, verses 6 through 7, it says that the crowds paid, with one accord, paid attention to what was being said to Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. So there's signs and wonders taking place. For unclean spirits were crying out in a loud voice and came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So the key there is just to go there. Just find out. What is the Holy Spirit doing? All right. So let's talk about this Ethiopian eunuch. Now, Philip is ministering, and it looks like an incredible revival is taking place in Samaria. So you would think that he'd want to stay there, right? And you would think that God would want him to stay there. But by that point, the apostles had already come up there and were helping in the ministry and everything. So in a certain sense, Philip was needed elsewhere. And it was the angel of the Lord that came to Philip to say, hey, you need to go down to this other place. And so this is what we see happening here. It says in Acts 8, verse 26, the angel of the Lord said to Philip, arise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. Now, we're going to be looking at five things, I think, that we need to pick up in terms of his ministry to the Ethiopian eunuch. There's five things that I want to point out that I think need to happen whenever we're ministering the gospel to anyone. First off, be led by God. Be led by God. I'll tell you something. I've been around a long time. And I have ministered the gospel for sometimes the wrong reason. Sometimes I wanted to prove a point. Sometimes I just wanted to get in somebody's face. I mean, and maybe God honored it, at least the message got out. But I mean, you know, I have operated what we would call in Christianese in the flesh as opposed to being in the spirit. I have done things out of, you know, my own pride or whatever. And I confess that to you in a humble way, and I pray that you would forgive me, okay, as God has already done. But if we're really wanting to minister as God would have us minister, we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And when those opportunities seem to rise out of nowhere, we need to connect the dots. Because sometimes we've prayed, and the answer to prayer maybe took some time, but okay, now here's an opportunity. And when those times happen, just, you know, shoot an arrow up to heaven real quick. Say, God, give me direction on this one. God, just give me direction. I want to be led by your Holy Spirit. In Acts 8, 27 through 28, it says he arose and went. Okay, the angel of the Lord came to him and said to go. So he arose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Now here we've got a stretch. Before he was in Samaria, which was a little different than the Jewish nation. Now he's ministering to a guy from Ethiopia. You know, a totally different continent. He's ministering to a person from a totally different continent. You know, possibly darker skin color, a different culture. You know, a lot of different things. Probably a lot different in terms of wealth. I mean, let's face it. Philip's walking. This guy's in a chariot. Connect the dots. I mean, you know. So there probably was a pretty big intimidation factor. But yet, he's trying to be led by the Spirit on this. So the Holy Spirit prompts Philip to go to the chariot because the Spirit said to Philip, go and join this chariot. So he does. And that brings me to the second thing here. And that is we need to meet them where they're at. We need to meet people where they're at. So Philip went to the official. He didn't direct the official to go to his local synagogue. Okay? You notice that? Now, I know how it is within Christians. I know how we are. We meet somebody that expresses some hunger after the things of God, and what do we tell them? Oh, you need to come to church. Well, that's not a bad thing in itself. But the reality is, we need to go to them, where they're at. And you know, when those situations happen, I would recommend that not only do you say, hey, can I come over to your house and explain some of these things to you? But have them invite friends and family over too. I mean, that may put them make them feel even more comfortable. Say, oh, you know what, I'd love to come to your house sometime and answer some of these questions. Or maybe you got a chance to share some things and they said, well, I'm still not sure. Said, hey, tell you what, why don't I come over sometime to your place? We could talk some more. Go to them where they are at. It says in Acts 8, verse 30, Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? You know? And in this climate, in this day and age, you can even ask somebody, hey, how's it going for you? What do you think about all this stuff? And then use that as a lead-in to a spiritual discussion. I never forget one time when I was in college. We were doing a, I don't know what you'd call it. There was a street fair going on, and all the stores were having stuff put out on the sidewalk, you know, to sell. And it was a hot day and everything. And so we had one of the members of our church had a store, and she said, you guys can go and put a table up and give water away. You know, it's like, hey, this is great. So we're giving out bottled water, and people are coming by for the water because it's hot. And so we're looking for ways to minister. And so this Jewish lady was there, and this Arab were there, and we were engaging in this conversation, and my pastor was there. And he said, you know, I noticed that you're Jewish and you're Arab. I said, what do you suppose it's going to take for the conflicts in Israel to be resolved? It's like, you know, you talk about praying for boldness. You know, I could not believe those words came out of my pastor's mouth, you know. I'm looking for a place to crawl under the table. Well, like that, the Jewish person was gone, but the Arab guy started engaging us in a conversation, and it was really worthwhile. And, you know, I can't say that nothing came to it. I know I didn't, you know, no, he did not kneel. It would have been a great story, right? He's kneeling on the hot sidewalk, you know, praying to receive Christ or anything like that. But it just goes to show you there are opportunities that can happen. We just need to go there. We just need to go there. So that said, your first inclination is to invite them to the church. How about inviting you to their place? Or, you know, to a coffee house or whatever. You know, I love it where I work in New Philadelphia. They have a coffee house there. And I'll go in there sometimes during the day. And a lot of times you'll see these two guys there with a big Bible open in between them, you know. And the one guy's sharing with the other. And I think that is so cool. All right. And that brings me to the third point. And that is use God's Word, wherever possible. Use God's Word. In Acts 8, verse 31, it says, he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him because he was reading out of the Bible. And Bill Powell usually says this, and I love quoting Bill Powell. You just can't make this stuff up. I mean, could you imagine? You're kind of like walking along. There's this chariot. This guy's reading out of the Bible. And you say to him, hey, you understand what you're reading? The guy says, how can I unless somebody explains it to me? Open door. You know, you just can't make this stuff up. And this is one of my favorite passages out of Isaiah. Isaiah 55, verse 11 says this. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing I sent it. In other words, God's word does not return void. When his word goes out, it's going to accomplish something. We don't always know what, but God's word will accomplish something. So, let God's word accomplish its mission. And even if you don't have a Bible, but if you remember a passage of Scripture that applies, speak it out. Even if you don't even remember it 100% correctly, you can just give the proviso. Well, I'm not sure exactly how this goes, but I'm pretty sure there's a verse out of the Bible that says this. Or don't even say a verse out of the Bible. Just quote it to the best of your abilities. If you look in the Bible, in the New Testament, they are often quoting Old Testament scriptures, just even little parts of them. And sometimes they're somewhat paraphrased, like little parts, maybe a sentence out of a verse may be missing. But they're getting the Word of God out there. And I think that's so important that as we share, that the Word of God gets out there. I'll tell you a little story, and some of you know me. I've shared this many times. But one time I was sharing the gospel with this one co-worker. This is when I first came to Ohio. And what he was sharing with me, there was a scripture that I thought would perfectly apply to the situation. And for the life of me, I couldn't remember how it went. And as he's telling me, I'm in my mind struggling. I'm saying, Lord, help me remember this scripture. And I could not remember it. And I'm thinking, Lord, you promised in your word you bring these things to our mind. And so finally I just said to the guy, you know something? There's a verse out of the Bible that directly addresses what you just said. And he quoted it to me. This unsaved guy quoted it to me. You know, God's hand's not short. I'm just saying. God's hand is not short. The Word of God will accomplish its mission. All right. The fourth thing I want you to keep in mind, and this is looking again at what Philip did, is answer the question. Answer the question. So in Acts 8, verse 34 through 35, it says this. The eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning with the scripture, told him the good news about Jesus. So there was a question on this person's mind. And it just so happened he had a great verse out of Isaiah there. Just a really, really great verse out of Isaiah that basically led into this whole discussion and everything. And you can see where it's all about the lamb is led to the slaughter. It's like, wow, what a great verse. What a great lead-in. Now, I'll tell you this. When you're ministering to somebody, you're not always going to have such a great lead-in. And sometimes the person won't be able to articulate exactly what they're asking. So you may have to help them. You may have to say, you know, here's what I'm hearing you say. Is this your question? And kind of paraphrase it back for them. Try to understand their position. Because nobody likes things being shoved down their throat, do they? I'll tell you something. I feel like the last couple months I've had a lot of stuff shoved down my throat in terms of don't do this and don't go there and don't, you know. And I think as, you know, in America, we love freedom, right? And we don't like people telling us what to do. Even if it's for our own good, supposedly anyway. But anyway, you could debate that. But I mean, we don't like people telling us what to do. And we don't like, and so that's what I'm saying here, is make sure you're answering their question. And the last thing I want to say that Philip did was he followed through appropriately. He followed through appropriately. Acts 8, verse 36 says this, and as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? Now, evidently, Philip, in his sharing the gospel, you know, we don't know exactly what Philip shared, because we just have the story behind what he shared. But evidently, as part of what he shared, he shared the importance of being water baptized as, you know, as a testimony to the fact that you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And Acts 8, verse 37, a lot of translations delete this verse because some people say it's not in the oldest translations, yada, yada, yada. I actually think it should be in there. But I could go either way. You know, if you don't believe it's in there or not, to me it doesn't subtract from what was taking place here. But in Acts 8, verse 37, it says this, and Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In any regard, I am confident that Philip made sure that the guy was saved before he water baptized him. Okay? So leave it at that. So anyway, he follows up appropriately, and he water baptizes the guy right there and then. There's, you know, obviously at the side of the road there was enough water for him to be water baptized, and so he took care of it. And so in Acts 8, verse 38, we have this verse. It says, he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. So that was the appropriate way to handle the situation. Not every conversation you have will end on such delightful terms. Okay? All right? That's just the reality. So the idea is to be sensitive to where they're at. Follow through appropriately. If they're not ready to receive Christ, okay, maybe it's not time yet. Maybe it'll be another time. But that said, if you're in a group of people, be sensitive to everybody. There may be another person in that group. So go there and just say, anybody else here? You know, want to maybe make that step. There may be somebody else in the room. The person that invited you over that had the question, he may have just been the catalyst, so to speak, in the whole situation. You know, he may not be the person that actually did, you know, is there to receive Christ at that time. That's just the way things work. I mean, keep in mind, anybody hear the name Billy Graham before? Yeah, who hasn't heard the name of Billy Graham? Has anybody ever heard the name of the guy that led him to Christ? But I guarantee you, there was a guy. There was a guy out there. There was somebody out there. So, follow through appropriately. You know, make sure that you're sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is doing. Maybe the guy's not ready yet. Maybe he'll be ready another time. One time, I was presenting the gospel to a coworker, and we kind of came to an impasse. And I knew at that point, you know what? It's time for me to shut up and go home. I'm sorry to put it so bluntly. And that's what I did. And I followed up with him the next day. I said, hey, how are you doing? And he was kind of hungover and he didn't want to talk. But Monday he called me up on the phone and said he had received Jesus Christ the day before. So I'm just saying, be sensitive where things are at. All right. If you haven't heard anything I've been saying the last few weeks, the church is more than just the building or just even the gathering together. We are called out. We have a mission. And part of that mission is to be his witnesses. And everybody is a witness of what Jesus Christ did in your own life. So on any level, we should be able to share how we came to Christ with somebody. Not all of us are called to evangelism. And not all of us is going to do it the same way. But what I am suggesting is we put that on our radar and ask God to open up opportunities to share what God has done in our lives. Like I said, like I had started the message with and ended last week in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, honor Christ as Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word, Lord God, and we know that your word does not return void. So, Lord, I just pray that it would find its place within our hearts, that we would be faithful to what you've called us to do. Help us be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, Lord. And, Lord, we do pray that as we go forth and share your message, that you would back it up with signs that follow, Lord God, whatever that may be for the particular situation. We just pray that you would do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thanks for your time. Thank you, all you that tuned in via the internet. Tell other people that we are gathering together and meeting. And tell other people we're going to continue internet as well, because we know there's some people out there with compromised immune systems and stuff like that need to be more careful than others. By all means, do whatever you deem appropriate. But we are here if you'd like to come together.